job,
That's
man.
How I do it.
I'm doing all right. I'm eating some bad jerky right now.
Bad jerky.
Sounds like a punk band.
I tried to make it myself, and I don't think it went very well because I don't have a dehydrator. I didn't even have any steak, so I just took some ground beef and tried to make it flat and seasoned it with some teriyaki and some pepper and some things like that. And I don't know. It tastes like I'm eating just like a really bad hamburger or something like that. I think I didn't get it dried out enough or something. I don't know what was going on, but
did you cooked it ahead of time? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not eating a raw meat, like a zombie steak or something like that. But, no, it's set in the oven at like 170, 190 for like, 5-6 hours or whatever. Yeah. Wow. It was craziness. So, yeah, by the way, welcome to the 16-Bit Catholic podcast, episode 26. Our last episode was the big episode 25, and we didn't do anything special for it.
Oh, was it really? Wow.
Yeah. We've rebooted ourselves, so it might have been like the 69th episode or 91st episode or, you know, something like that. But no, it was episode 25, and I thought, wow, we should have celebrated or something like that.
Oh, special in my heart.
The 25th anniversary gift, by the way, is, what's it supposed to be? A silver. So, you should have gotten me some silver since it was like a silver wedding anniversary, you know, like 25. Mm-hmm. That's how that goes. You should have gotten me some home decor or some jewelry. So,
or jewelry, silver bells.
You could have sang that song to me and then given me like a flower in a silver flower pot. That's what you could have done.
Maybe I take a pink flamingo and I spray paint it silver, and then that's our lawn ornament for the evening.
What could I have gotten you? What would you like in a silver form?
In a silver form? I don't know. I have no need for silver. I own gold only. I don't know what I would need for silver. A silver medal, a silver spoon, silver spoons. How about season one of Silver Spoons, the DVD?
What is season one of Silver Spoons? Is that Ricky Schroeder?
Yes, it is. Okay. Ricky Schroeder.
He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Is that how that worked? Or why did they call it Silver Spoons?
I don't remember the show as much because I didn't watch it as a kid, but I think he was like the live action Richie Rich.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's pleasant for him, I guess. But
all I remember is that he had a bedroom or a toy room, and it had like every awesome toy of whatever year that show came out. And you'd always like – if you watched it, you were like, oh, I want those.
He had a Neo Geo like that kid down the road from your house when you were a little kid had or something.
Interesting.
I
did not make that connection previously.
I see Ricky Schroeder. I just remember him being on Scrubs and dating one of the doctors, Elliot, and the director's commentary said it was like an Aryan wet dream or something because they were both like super blonde and pasty skinned and everything like that. So
never seen Scrubs. I don't think I ever will. I'm not a big Zach Braff fan.
Oh, but everybody else on the show was so good. You got John C. McGinley. He's fantastic on the show. He's worth watching for that show alone. You should
I've
do
seen
that
him
sometime.
If I know him, yes.
Yeah, he was Office Space. You've seen Office Space, right?
I have, yes.
There are so many people that I work with, and they're like in their 20s, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but they've never seen Office Space, never even heard of the movie.
What?
Which is like
really
a sham is what that is.
You know, kids these days, I have no clue what, you know, and then they see a movie and they're like, oh, that's awesome. And you're like, well, that's a remake from a movie in the 80s or 70s. And they're like, I wasn't born yet. And you're like, you're an idiot.
I remember the Office TV started playing Grease, and they were like two or three girls sitting next to me. They're like, what cartoon is this? I was like, it's Grease.
It's not even a
It's the intro to Grease. My God.
That's like, right. It starts off as an animation in the opening credits.
Yeah. It's great, especially if you're like a little kid like me and you still want your cartoon fix, but you still want to watch like older kid stuff because you want to be like, I'm not a baby. I can watch older kid stuff. The cartoon at the beginning of Grease kind of scratches that itch for you, you know, gives
Grease
you that
is
fix.
The word.
It still is the word, I would say.
I was at the theater the other day, and they had a poster up, the Grease movies coming back to the theater, like, for two nights only in April.
Nice.
I think it's, like, April 13th, and I don't have my phone with me, so I can't tell you off the top of my head. But I took a picture of it and sent it to my sister, because she's, like, she worships that movie. That was, like, her thing growing up. It's a good movie.
She's
I don't blame her for that.
She's a greasophobe?
Yeah, she had the soundtrack. We'd sing it. My mom's got video of me, like, in fifth grade, my sister in third grade. We're singing Grease Lightning at the top of our
nice.
Lungs. And I don't know why my mother let us go through with it, because my mom's pretty, I don't want to say, like, conservative, because that makes her sound like a bad person or something
like that. Like a frump or something.
Yeah, well, she was just very strict. Like, we couldn't watch The Simpsons or, you know, anything like that because of bad language. She abided by those movie ratings. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but she abided by those movie ratings, like, to the T. Like, no, you got to be 13 to watch a PG-13 movie, you know, that sort of thing. But she's got this video of us, and pardon my language, everybody, but it's like me as a fifth grader singing, "She's a real pussy wagon." And I'm like, looking back, I'm like, Mom, you did a great job raising us, but I kind of question you letting us listen to that soundtrack over and over again like that. But,
I didn't know that they said that in that song. So now I'm going to have to, you know, I've only seen Grease a few times. I do like it a lot, and I did see it when it was replayed in a theater around here many years ago.
I want to see.
So I did get a chance to see it in the theater. So, you know, and everybody was singing along and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is the first time I've ever seen this. I have no clue what this means.
There's also the line in there that we sang verbatim as kids with there something like getting lots of tit or something like that. I don't remember that.
I do remember a part when I think it was the main pink lady when she said, "What do you think this is, a gangbang?"
Yeah, and the guy was like, "Yeah, you wish," or something.
Yeah, you wish.
Kinnicky or – no, was it Kinnicky? Was it?
Yeah, I think it was Kinnicky, yeah.
It was – where is it at? I'm looking at the lyrics here. Oh, you are supreme. The chicks will cream for Grease Lightning. I did not know what that meant as a kid, but –
my question, how many, you've seen this, Grease a few times, more than once,
I've
correct?
I've seen it way too much.
Okay, so you know, after you see a movie a certain number of times, you pick up the small little details in the background, or you start looking and you go, "Oh, I'm gonna watch this person dance, or this person sing, or do this thing." Now, when they're singing Grease Lightning, let me ask you about this. What's with the cellophane?
I don't know. I've never thought about that until just this very moment.
You know that part I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, they wrap the car up in cellophane.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Exactly.
I'll get on like Quora and ask that question or something. But yeah, they say, you know, that ain't no shit. We'll be getting lots of tit. So, yeah. By the way, I went to confession tonight to cleanse my soul, so I'm not going to say as many dirty words on there, but I'm quoting a song, so that's why I'm saying bad words.
Yeah,
so.
You've certainly said more dirty words than I have, and I think in the last two shows.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to see if I don't say any dirty words tonight.
I think we should aim to elevate ourselves into being better people by not swearing like common lunatics or whatever.
Well, yes, and I have other podcasts where I can rant and rave like a common lunatic, like a street thug, and which, you know, it's funny because I generally try not to swear as much, but sometimes it just lets out, and I'm actually surprised sometimes with the words that I'll drop out, and I'll go, "I just got to reel that one in there, pal."
I try my best not to swear in front of the kids, but I got a feeling that someday my daughter's gonna grow up and she's gonna say, like, "My old man used swear words like an artist uses a paintbrush," or something like that. I'll just get so mad, you know, at work or something like that, and they can hear me because my office is not like roped off right now. It will be in a few months when we move, but so I'm sitting here like, "What the effing son of a blah blah blah, blah. Why are these people doing this?" And blah, oh, those people at work, they just drive me nuts or whatever. So I don't like to talk about my work, so I won't give you any details, but let's just suffice to say, people who don't care about their job tend to suck at it. So
those people.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want the mustaches at work to listen to my podcast and be all like, what's he talking about work for? We need to listen to everything else he says. And then I get fired for making fun of the Han Solo actor, the young Han Solo actor in the previous episode. I don't need that. They might be some Han Solo fanboys.
I don't think anyone would fire you for that one.
No, well, who knows? They might got some Han Solo fanboys or something that would get offended by such language decimating their hero like that. But yes, so Grease, if you are going to take your kids to go see Grease in the theaters in a few weeks, keep in mind there is some strong language and adult themes that
Definitely the adult themes, but I think with the language, it goes by so fast, especially a lot of times in song, so yeah. That, you know, and like you said, you dropped a couple words and I go, that was in the movie, really?
I wonder if maybe my mom didn't realize they were saying that. Maybe that's the thing there.
Mm.
That said, I'm thinking about taking my six-year-old to go see that movie in the theater for that one night only thing.
Probably.
She probably would. She likes watching cars and motorcycles and everything, and they have cars in that movie. Apparently, there are cars in the movie Grease, if you can believe such a thing. I don't.
Some kids who like cars, their parents take them to see the Pixar movie Cars. You take them to see Grease. Why not?
Were there any motorcycles in that movie?
I don't remember.
Okay, I don't think there are. You would think there would be, since they all wore leather jackets and everything, like the Fonz or something. But
you could do a double showing of, you could go Grease and then American Graffiti, which is right around the same time as well.
Oh man, I would love to go see American Graffiti just for the soundtrack itself. Like that's a good soundtrack. My dad used
I got
a
chance
to
I had to watch that for one of my college classes, film classes, and that was a fun movie. I don't think I haven't seen it since, and I've been thinking about it recently to watch it because it got Wolfman Jack is doing the soundtrack. Yeah, cat
is Harrison Ford's in that movie, isn't he?
Harrison Ford is. He is a small. I think he's a small part, and I don't even know if his character has a name or not. I think it does, but he's. He might be one of the – he's the cool kids or something like that. I almost want to say he's like a cool kid from another school that they see him because they're all out on that Friday night or something like that.
Okay. I need to go see this movie sometime. I've never actually seen American Graffiti. I've got the soundtrack because my dad had the soundtrack when I was a kid. So, Bill Haley and the Comets are on there. Chuck Berry. Crickets make an appearance on there. It's good stuff. It's a really good soundtrack. But, yeah, I feel like that's is that George Lucas's first movie?
THX? George Lucas's first movie was THX 1138.
Is that one any good? I've never seen that
one
either. Oh, is
it? In this class, it was called George Lucas and the Star Wars Experience, where we watched a lot of George Lucas movies. We watched a couple other movies that were that he had parts of as well. That was the first movie we watched, and I fell asleep for that movie.
Wow. Is it that bad? Is it boring or it's bad just, or both?
It's just boring and just it, you know, it's an interesting idea, but it's just like, oh god. And I think it was a long week anyway. It was the first week of school, so good job. Sleep for the first movie of your class. Yeah.
Oh well, we've all done that. At least you showed up to class though, so you got credit
exactly.
For being there.
And interesting thing about American Graffiti, there is a license plate in American Graffiti. One of the cars does have a license plate that says THX 1138 on it. Hmm.
Do they have that number in Star Wars? THX 1138.
No, I don't think so.
Hmm. But also, I was looking at George Lucas's thing, his filmography. Whoa. Or whatever.
No. Looking at his thing?
did y'all watch Radioland Murders in that class?
No. I am familiar with it, but we did not watch that.
Okay. That's one of the other George Lucas movies I've never actually seen before, but I would like to. It looks like a fun little movie or whatever. But
the only other movie I can remember from that class was we watched Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh, that's a good one.
And all the Star Wars movies, all the original Star Wars movies too.
Did you like Last Crusade or Temple of Doom better? Ooh, I didn't think you were going to take this much time thinking about
I know.
This.
You know what? I think I like Last Crusade more because it has Sean Connery.
I feel like Temple, that's the right answer.
Temple of Doom, yes. And Temple of Doom was good, but it certainly was not as good as a follow-up to, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, okay. He was a writer and a producer on Radioland Murders. He was also in that same year in Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Whoa. He was in it?
Yeah, he had a cameo as a disappointed husband. I don't even know what part that is, because I've seen that movie before, but
I've seen that a bunch of times too.
And then apparently he's in Hook. He had a cameo on Hook. He was man kissing really? Woman on bridge. Where? I don't even remember that at all. But I think somebody's screwing with me on Wikipedia. I think they're just making stuff up and just hoping that I will fall for it or whatever. And then Red Tails. It looks like that was like his last like movie that he did. Like
I've never seen that.
Or Strange Magic. I'm sorry. Some Strange Magic. He was like a writer and a producer on that as well. So
now speaking of George Lucas and a movie that your child or children might enjoy is Willow. Did you ever see that?
No, I played the Nintendo game though.
It's much better than the Nintendo game, my
friend. Is it? Because that Nintendo game was not good. That was hot trash. That Nintendo game. There's probably some fanboy out there.
Willow's directed by Ron Howard. The story is by George Lucas, starring Val Kilmer, Warwick Davis, Joanne Whaley. It's a really good. I love the movie. I saw it as a kid in the theaters, and it's a fantasy. It's basically about these small. They're kind of like hobbits, but they're little midgets, and they find a child, and it's a human child,
and they eat it.
They don't. Oh. They wrap it up, and they want to basically turn it back in to the human tribe that is on the other side of wherever it is. But the unbeknownst to them, that child is who the evil sorceress is looking for, because I guess it's the child who will fulfill the prophecy or something, something like that.
Oh wow, that does kind of sound a little Lord of the Rings ish with the whole little people and. Somebody who's a chosen one or whatever. That sounds like almost every RPG.
Val Kilmer is absolutely tremendous as Mad Mardigan.
What is he?
He's known as he is the boastful mercenary swordsman who helps Willow on his quest.
Oh, so he's a face. Okay.
And Mad Mardigan! Yeah.
And Warwick Davis is the dwarf and aspiring sorcerer. That's what the Wikipedia says. Well, that sounds like a fun movie. So you think Lucy might like that?
I might. There's a little scary parts, but yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I'd say that and Princess Bride, obviously.
Yeah, we've had that in our Amazon cart, by the way. So the special edition where you make the cameo, by the way, because that's just the best thing in the world that you.
Now I make the cameo in the extra stuff for the Blu-ray.
Don't tell people that. In the movie. I want people to watch the movie and be like searching for you, like frame by frame. Like, oh, they said he was in this movie. Where is James Ryan? And
I played Andre the Giant. Duh.
Oh man, speaking of movies, my wife is going to be on the podcast in a separate segment later, but my friends at Drunk Austin on Twitter, they published this, I messaged this to you earlier, did you get this rom-com bracket of like 64 movies?
I did, and I actually couldn't pull it up on my phone for some reason.
Oh, okay. It's like 64 different rom-coms or whatever, and it was actually hard. My wife and I, we printed off our own little brackets and we filled it out, and
I'm interested to hear. I'm not a big rom-com fan just because I don't know, that's not how I roll, I guess.
Well, they
it's all the rage. People are doing the Disney NCAA tournament and then now this, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other ones, you know.
My favorite of that Disney one is somebody just stamped the word anime like over the whole bracket, and that was it. I was like, "That's awesome. You know what? That seems like that's the right answer." And then somebody photoshopped, I'm trying to think of his name, but the main dude from The Emperor's New Groove, like him just like strutting like in front of it, and like, "This is my answer." I'm like. I applaud your creativity on that one, but no, I won't go through this whole bracket because it's like 64 teams or whatever, but, I had a final four where was it? I can't find it anymore. Oh, There's Something About Mary, Hitch, How Stella Got Her Groove Back, and, Love and Basketball. That was my final four on that.
Interesting.
Do you like any of those movies?
I don't think I've ever seen any of those movies. I think – no, I've seen – Hitch is with Will Smith, right?
Yeah. And then you never saw There's Something About Mary?
Oh, I've seen it, but I never was a big fan of it.
Oh, okay. I love that movie unabashedly or whatever. But the hardest one in this little bracket though was I had to go Hitch versus Clueless, and so I took Hitch instead of Clueless. And Oh, You've Got Mail actually made it to my Sweet 16. I was kind of surprised because that's a trash movie, but I like that movie. But Splash got pretty far. Splash got to my Elite Eight.
I saw that. You know, I'd be interesting to hear all when you guys give your movies, you know, of the two that are going up against each other, then I'll let you know. I haven't seen that, or I have seen that.
But they put How Stella Got Her Groove Back versus Princess Bride in the first round. Like, wait,
what?
Like, that was hard. And the reason I was partial to Stella once, I haven't seen The Princess Bride, so maybe I changed my mind. But I told Drunk Austin, I said, this isn't your fault, but look at most of these movies. Most of these movies are about, like, pasty, bony white women finding love. Like, there's hardly any movies with black leads or people of color leads. The only ones that were on this list I could think of was Brown Sugar, A Love in Basketball, How Stella Got Her Groove Back, and Hitch. And then if you want to go When Fools Rush In, because what's her name is a Latina actress. I'm trying to think of her name now. Who was in that movie opposite of Matthew
Jennifer
Perry?
Lopez?
No. She's in there too. She was on there. No, it's
Sophia
Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a few movies, but I was like, man, that just shows you just how white-ass Hollywood is sometimes.
I've never seen any of those, except for Hitch, the ones that you just named. I've never seen any of those. And Princess Bride should win, hands down, the whole thing.
Well, you should fill out your bracket and tweet it at them, because they'll probably retweet it, because they're cool like that. And that way you can show some love to Princess Bride. Sure. Do you know what? You don't even have to fill it out.
What's that?
You don't even have to fill out. Just write Princess Bride just in like
Princess
big
Bride
giant
wins.
Letters and just like
nobody else shows up. Princess Bride wins. The majority of those I have never seen before. And if I have seen them, I've seen them once and I don't remember them at all.
You never saw 27 Dresses?
No.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
I did see My Big Fat Greek Wedding. I enjoyed it, but I've only seen it once.
Chasing Amy?
Saw it once. I barely remember it.
10 Things I Hate About You.
I actually like that movie. That was actually
That's got the Joker and Robin are in that movie
it
together.
It certainly does.
It's crazy. And then Pretty Woman.
I just watched that. We just watched that recently for the first time, maybe about 3 weeks ago.
How was it for you?
It was all right.
Okay.
It was typical
like
80s, you know. It was all right.
And Clueless. Did you see Clueless?
I've seen Clueless, but I maybe seen it twice, but I don't remember a lot of it.
And then you never saw Sleepless in Seattle, did you?
Never seen Sleepless in Seattle.
That movie depresses me. I told my wife, like, that's a good movie, but that movie doesn't fill you with a whole lot of hope while you're watching it. It's just, I don't know. Everybody's just sad and mopey in that movie. It's like, I don't know, a Zack Snyder rom-com or something. Everybody's just dark and gritty and depressing, but...
Yeah, I've never seen a lot of those. I was trying to find shit. I had the list. Oops. Let's see. You said Drunk Austin.
Yes. Drunk_Austin. And that's how you can find their rom-com bracket, which I thought was brilliant of them to come up with this. Everybody does brackets, like you said, have all these brackets all over the place. But the rom-com one. Pretty good.
Let's see. What do we got? Oh, I like that one. Somebody said, oh, it's all Princess Bride. Let's see. Love Actually, I've seen once. Runaway Bride, never seen it. French Kiss, I don't think I've ever seen that. While You're Sleeping, nope. Something About Mary, once. Man in Manhattan, no. Crazy Stupid Love, no. My Best Friend's Wedding, I don't think so.
Four
Weddings
sucks,
and Funeral, yes, I have
way.
Seen that.
My Best Friend's Wedding is terrible. Don't go.
Four Weddings and a Funeral is very funny. I like that one. Roxanne with Steve Martin. Probably seen parts as a kid, never seen it as an adult. Wedding Date, no. Splash, saw it as a kid maybe. Leap Year, I have no clue what that is. Wedding Planner, probably J-Lo. I don't know what His Girl is. I've never seen When Harry Met Sally.
You never saw When Harry Met Sally?
No, I've never seen it.
Holy good God almighty, man.
Serendipity, nope, never seen it. Bridget Jones, nope, never seen it. 10 Things I Hate About You, yeah, I've seen it. What the hell is Death Set? Sleepers in Seattle, never seen it. Fools Rush In, nope. Roman Holiday, that's old school. Probably seen parts, but I don't think I can remember any of it. Say Anything? Is that with Ashton Kutcher?
Say Anything, no. Say Anything is... It's actually me and your mom, dude. We made a romantic movie together. It was great.
Over the line.
That's so. That's not
you've
what
got mail. Never seen You Got Mail. Never seen you Notting Hill. Princess Diaries 2. What? Never even seen Princess Diary 1. Pretty Woman. Just saw it. Hitch. I've seen it once. I'm not a big fan of what's his name. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Nope. Failure to Launch. Nope. Clueless. Yeah. Bend It Like Beckham. No. Sweet Home Alabama. No. The Prince and Me. No. Easy A. Yes. I like that movie. That was very funny. How Stella Got Her Groove Back. Nope. Princess Bride. Love it. It should win. Must Love Dogs? No. That's with Janine Garofalo.
Oh, is it? Oh, by the way, Say Anything is from 1989 with a very young John Cusack.
Oh, then I have seen it. Yes. Okay. Say Anything. But I don't remember anything. That's the one he's holding the stereo. That iconic. That's an 80s.
I did that for a girl, and
that should at least go on to the second round. Yes.
I held a stereo campus like that, and you know what? I did not get a date at all. So that movie lied to me. Well,
you're not in an 80s movie. That's why.
It's not.
16 Candles. I have seen that. That will go on to the next round. The Proposal. No, I've never seen it. Nick and Nora's Infinite, eat it. No. Moonstruck. Never seen all of Moonstruck. Amelie. Nope. Pretty in Pink. Yep. I've seen that. That's all right. Crazy Stupid Love. No. 27 Dresses. Yeah, right. I've never even saw 26, 25, 24, 23, even all the way down to one dress. Might be Big Fat Greek Wedding. Sure. That wins, the next round. That's a funny one. The Holiday. No. Philadelphia Story. Is that with Tom Hanks?
No, AIDS? No, that's not. That's worse from.
That's Philadelphia. However. Okay.
That's a most depressing rom-com if that's on there.
Speaking of Tom Hanks, Joe vs. Volcano. Yeah, I saw that once in the 80s. I don't remember that much. How to Marry a Millionaire. What about Slumdog Millionaire? Ella Enchanted. Nope. Love and Basketball. Nope. Funny Face. That's with Barbara Streisand. I've never seen that before. Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy at all. So even though I've never seen Funny Face, I still made Funny Face win that one.
Yeah, you got it. Under the Tuscan Sun. Negative. What a girl wants. No, never seen it. Bride and Prejudice.
The Bollywood version of Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's Bollywood, it's probably good. So go ahead. You win. 13 going on 30. Yeah, no, never. Was that a child? Is that about a child bride?
No, that's that girl from Alias, and she's like 13, and everybody's making fun of her.
Oh, so it's kind of like the Swap, Freaky Friday or something like that?
Yeah, it's Jennifer Garner. I really like that movie. That movie gets to my elite eight.
That loses for not being original. Freaky Friday is much better, and that's not a rom-com. Well, yes, Never Been Kissed. I have seen Never Been Kissed. That's with
Drew Barrymore.
Josie Grossi. I'm not Josie Grossi anymore.
Drew Barrymore is great in that that show Santa Clarita Diet, by the way.
I have never seen that.
It's great.
The funniest thing about Never Been Kissed is that what's his name? David Arquette. He goes back to high school as well, and he plays on the high school baseball team and kicks butt.
Yeah, that's fun.
It Happened One Night. I don't know what that is. And Forgetting Sarah Marshall. That was funny, but whatever. And then how come Forgetting Sarah Marshall has a blank, so they get an automatic buy?
They screwed it up. It was supposed to be the movie from 2002, Brown Sugar, starring Tay Diggs. The dreamy, beautiful Tay Diggs, man.
Never seen that.
It's Tay Diggs, man.
So Princess Bride's going to win.
I think you need to just do your bracket. Just write Princess Bride just in giant letters across the thing. Don't even fill anything else out. Just Princess Bride across the whole thing and just call it a day. So I think that would be great. The Philadelphia Story's got Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn in it.
Got to be a classic. Hey, let it move on to the next round, sure.
And James Stewart and Ruth Hussey. That's a good movie. Yeah.
Jane Stewart is quite the
That's a good name. Wait. James.
Oh, I'm thinking of Jane Russell.
Oh, okay. So she's fine too, but James Stewart, he's great. He did a bunch of good stuff. If you were to try to list all the great movies he done, we'd be here for another 20 minutes or so.
Now I'm Googling Jane Russell, so there you go.
Well, there you go. He did a lot of Broadway stuff too. I didn't know that James Stewart did Broadway stuff, but that's
how they started back then. You know, they were all Broadway theatrical actors. And, you know, they didn't have to; they had to go through that before they started doing films and stuff like that.
He was It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
I'm Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Stewart, not Jimmy Smith. I'm Jimmy Stewart. And I've still never seen, what's the Christmas movie that he's in?
It's a Wonderful Life, yeah.
Never seen that.
I've never seen it either. But I don't have to go to the North Pole to know it's cold. So I know that's a good movie even without seeing it. But
I'd rather watch one of my favorite Christmas movies. You know, instead of that, I know we're totally going off topic and you're going to cut this probably. I'll watch Bill Murray in Scrooge.
That's my least favorite Bill Murray movie.
It's such a good movie.
It's boring, depressing movie or whatever.
Hey, back off, man. This may work with the chicks, but not with me.
I wonder if that worked out for them creating television programming for pets who stay at home. Yeah. They might turn out to be a big audience or whatever.
That's right. You know, remember? And the guy was happy. He was like, hey, see, I was right.
No, it's probably not. There's worse Bill Murray movies out there. Garfield, hello. But I don't know. I didn't really like a Scrooge doll all that much. He got robbed, by the way, at that Academy Awards for Lost in Translation. He should have won instead of that wife beater, Sean Penn. Sean Penn's terrible.
I hated that movie, Lost in Translation.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you hate Lost in Translation or Sean Penn more?
Well, I don't like Sean Penn either.
Okay. I'm going to just pretend that you dislike Sean Penn more.
Yeah, I dislike Sean Penn.
Okay. All right. Well, I think a lot of people dislike Sean Penn. So we're with the cool kids, apparently.
Yes, we are. We are.
But, like, yeah, so it's like out of 64 movies, we could find maybe 5 or 6 with, like, people of color, and the rest of them are, like, white women. Like, that just seems, I don't know, that made me feel icky just thinking about
that
way.
That makes me think of when Cleavon Little was saying the line in Blazing Saddles, hey, where are the white women at?
You know, he should find this bracket that they have. He could find plenty of white women. But the topic we were going to talk about, I tried to solicit people on Twitter. Friggin' nobody gave a crap, so we're on our own on this one, man. We came up with a few food items that we loved as children, but for some reason we don't like them now. Either we can't eat them, or they're not available, or anything like that. My guest goes first, so what do you have on your list of things?
I have a list of 6 things. 5 might be fall more into the child realm of things that I ate as a kid. One was more I discovered it as a kind of an adult, but I do not eat any of these currently, or nor I will never eat them again. But I have fought the urge recently on a few of them. Ooh. But the first one I will go off and say, you ever heard about Kid Cuisine?
I heard about those. My mom would never buy them for us, though.
Kid Cuisine was basically like kids' version of TV dinner. So they would come with let's say there was one, it was little chicken nuggets, and it would have like a mashed potatoes and a little vegetables or something like that, and then maybe a brownie, and it'd all be frozen. You throw them all in the oven and heat it up and stuff like that.
That sounds terrible, but
They're awesome and terrible all at once. I was looking at all the different styles. I mean, there's ones that's like mini pizzas. I do specifically remember the chicken nuggets. I think they were like stars or something like that.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah, I don't think I want to ever eat a Kid Cuisine meal. Well, frankly, because I'm not a kid, and B, it's probably super crazy processed and garbage and everything like that.
A lot of sodium in that, I bet. But I can see, if you're a busy parent, you got 2 kids, you just tried to do everything you can to survive. You know what? I could see somebody having a bunch of Kid Cuisines in the freezer. Ain't nothing wrong with that either.
Nothing wrong. I might have known. For 2 of these things that I have on this list, I think I know at least 1 adult who used to have them regularly, in his fridge often. There we go. Pig tonight.
He willingly bought them for himself.
Exactly.
Oh, goodness gracious. No, we never got a Kid Cuisine. I'm kind of curious about this now. I might have to go buy one of these because they still make them apparently. So that's fun.
They make them. The machine is rolling. The momentum will never stop.
I did an image search for Kid Cuisine. There's a picture of ugly ass Trek all over it. It says,
I know.
He says, if you find a green tray inside this box, you win. No, that sounds like you lose. You lose if you find a green tray. Just throw it away, man. Just freaking Trek. I hate that movie so much. I'm sorry, Shrek sucks. But
I've seen 1 Shrek and that's it.
My friends. made fun of me when I was in high school because I thought that movie sucked, and they all loved it. Like, why do you don't like Shrek? That's dumb, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. Looking back, yeah, I was right about that. So I very happy with that. Anyways, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your list with my hatred of Shrek.
No, it's okay. I'll say one, you say one, and we'll go back and forth. So all right. This Kid Cuisine was mine.
First one on my list, those Sugar Daddy candies. You ever have those?
Oh, I've had those. Those are called filling pullers in my household.
Oh, man, I love those. And Milk Duds are kind of the same thing, but like,
oh, yeah.
You eat them and you feel like your teeth are going to be like pulled out or whatever. And I have one false tooth like in my front because I have messed up teeth apparently. And
it used to be a Street Fighter. <I've told.
laughs> I don't want that thing to ever come out, but you know, but you can try and suck on the Sugar Daddy. Heyo, but. It doesn't do anything. It's not like a lollipop or, you know, whatever. Like, you could suck on that thing for, like, hours, and you're not going to get anywhere with it. And then you got, like, caramel-flavored drool coming out of your mouth when you do that. It's disgusting.
Are we still talking about Sugar Daddy? I don't know.
Oh, welcome to a really, really perverted show here. But, yeah, so I can't eat those things. And my kids eat them, but they go brush their teeth immediately after they eat them. But yeah, so those things, they taste good, but they ruin your teeth.
They're absolute poison. Yeah, they're it's like eating sugar coated super glue in your mouth.
Is there not a way for them to make those things like softer? Is that just not a possibility?
I think the proper strategy to eating those is to just let them kind of melt a little bit in your mouth and then go for it. But, you know, we're humans. We don't want to wait for anything. No. And we just...
If you melted it completely in the microwave, would that make a good ice cream topping? Or are you just basically having, like, hot caramel poured on your ice cream?
Yeah, it's like hot caramel. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, that works. So, yeah. All right. What you got for number two?
Number two, as a child, so I just want to actually preface this. I was going to say it before the first one. So in my household, we didn't really grow up with many junk food or sodas or anything like that. So, but the one thing we did have in excess, it seemed like, was the sugary, delicious breakfast cereals.
Oh, nice.
And the ones in particular that I can think, I mean, we had tons of crazy different ones, but the ones I can specifically remember were Lucky Charms, all manner of Captain Crunch, Fruity Pebbles, Sugar Smacks, basically anything that had a toy inside it. Oh, we would get it. Yes.
Remind me later to ask you what your favorite toy was from the cereal box. But so which – do you not like any of those now? Are those all just nasty?
They're all nasty. Well, for me, just because I eat more healthy now.
I need to be more like you. I need to be healthy like you.
I also stopped drinking milk in high school just for – this was – I'm not lactose intolerant or anything like that. But there was a part of my when I was a teen, I can't even speak English today. that milk and my stomach weren't really agreeing, and so I just said, you know, without going to the doctor and figuring this out, I'm just going to take milk out of my diet. So I just started eating dry cereal, you know, in high school, stuff like that. I'd have a glass of orange juice and a dry cereal bowl. So plain, so gross. I know. But recently I've found, especially at Trader Joe's, there is a vanilla flavored coconut milk, and it's really, really good, and it's more healthy obviously than regular milk because you don't know what's in there nowadays with all the hormones and yada, yada, yada. And so I've actually made my way back into the realm of breakfast cereals, but I go with stuff from Trader Joe's, or I go from, like, you know, kind of more natural stuff, but I really like the peanut butter chocolate puffins. Now, I don't know if you ever heard of that before, but it's like a more healthy, kind of a healthier version of the Reese's Pieces cereal.
Oh, I remember that. I think that was one of those cereals we weren't allowed to have because my mom was like, that's just candy in a box. Like, she let us have some of the stuff, but not that.
I mean, hell, we used to get the Rice Krispie treats, Rice Krispies. cereal. Big chunks of Rice Krispie in your cereal bowl. Oh, this is great.
The one I think she really drew a hard line on was Cookie Crunch. No Cookie Crunch. We never had that in our house. I think my
we
mom
never
was
had that
like,
either.
That's just cookies. Like, I guess you could see through the bullcrap that the companies were peddling. But you said Fruity Pebbles. Have you ever had Fruity Pebbles on some ice cream?
No, but I have seen there are some ice cream places around here or yogurt places that do use Fruity Pebbles as a topping.
Oh, man, it's legit. That and Cinnamon Toast Crunch in your ice cream, that's also really, really good. But
so I'm a straight up say, so you never had Cookie Crisp as a kid. I did not either. There were certain cereals that we had all the time, and there were certain cereals that we never had. And Cinnamon Toast Crunch and even Golden Grahams did not make the rotation at the Ryan household.
That's a bummer. By the way, I tried a Cookie Crunch as an adult. Wasn't really blown away by it or whatever. I was like, this is fine, I guess. It didn't really fill me with any joy or whatever.
Though I will say randomly, I will – if I'm in Target or something like that and I do see – if I go peruse the aisles, I do see one of my all-time favorites as an adult is O's. O-H apostrophe S, and it's these
– Oh, those are O's. Good.
They're so good.
Yeah.
And they're super inexpensive, too. They're like $2 a box.
Oh, really? Shoot.
Yeah.
I need to go get some of those. But
yeah, no, they're one of my favorites. And I said that to somebody one time. They're like, oh, my God, I thought I was the only person.
No, those O's, there's something about them. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I can't really, like, if somebody said, what do you like O's? What do they taste like? I don't think I'd be able to tell you what they taste like.
Golden delicious. I don't know.
Like
Golden
honey delicious. Nut Cheerios on steroids or something. Like, I don't know how you would describe that. But number two on my list, this is not a childhood thing. This is a college thing. But Mike's Hard Lemonade. Oh. I love this stuff in college. I almost said high school. That was not true. I almost love this stuff in college. Like, that was like my six pack of choice. And then I took a few years off from drinking just to kind of prove to myself that I could, because the alcoholism ran rampant on my dad's side of the family. And I wanted to be able to prove to myself that, hey, I can just totally go sober if I ever want to. And I did.
Right.
So I started drinking again this year. By the way, I had a White Russian tonight for the first time. That was tasty.
Nice.
Oh, man, I felt like the dude.
Those got really popular when Big Lebowski came out.
Oh, man, it was really good. I used half and half instead of milk. I felt like that was the wise decision because it made it a little more sweeter. But I loved Mike's Hard Lemonade in college. But like 2 or 3 months ago, I tried a bottle of it, and it just didn't taste good. Like, it just tasted like a mediocre lemonade that somebody just screwed around with and did a terrible job with. I don't know why. I don't know if they changed the recipe or if my flavor became more refined or something, because I used to hate, like, the bad beers in college. No, I shouldn't say bad beers, but, like, the mass-produced beers, like Budweiser.
Oh, yeah.
Bud Light. And I love that stuff now. I started drinking that, and I'm like, oh, I like Bud Light. It's fine. It's great. So
no,
I don't
it's
know.
Not. It's mass. It's gross. It's big beer.
But I don't know.
But that's another show entirely.
I don't know why, though. I can't say that my flavor palate's gotten more refined because I'm more accepting of beer that people think is trash, but I don't like that Mike's Hard Lemonade, and people might probably say that's better than trash beer. I don't know. Maybe I just changed. I just became a new man or something. I don't know.
I've never had a Mike's Hard before, a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
It's lemonade that somebody poured some alcohol into. It's like if somebody takes a mixed drink and they add just a touch too much alcohol in it just to be like, I'm going to chug it, and it ends up making it not taste as good. That's how a Mike's Hard Lemonade came across to me.
Those are baby drinks. I don't do baby drinks.
Oh, look at you, so manly.
Look at you,
tough.
Big man. Hey, as I take a sip of my scotch,
I've got a tab soda out right now too. Talk about going back to my childhood. I never had one of these until this week. They're pretty good, actually.
I'm actually surprised that you figured out how to travel back in time and get tab.
Yeah, my grocery store here in Texas, they sell it. It's only in a 12-pack. Every other soda has a 2-liter bottle, but this was only in can form. So it says it's a Coca-Cola thing or whatever, but every time I look at the can with the label on it, I just think of Marty McFly saying, I'd like a tab. And he's,
you got to order something, pal.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, come on. Give me a Pepsi free.
Yeah, I'm not giving you anything for free. You know, it's funny about tab. I'd never had a tab before. So tab is, I guess it's more of a diet drink, correct?
Yeah, it's no calories. It's got caffeine in it, but it's just like a cola.
So I knew of tab, never had it, obviously, because we never had soda in our house, really, very rarely had soda in our house. And if it was 7-Up or something like that. The only time I remember ever seeing Tab was there was a producer I used to always house sit for him and his wife when they would go out of town, and opening the fridge, they'd have, you know, some interesting things, something like that, and he always had a six pack of Tab in the fridge. It was absolutely insane. I would always just laugh every time that. And I always bring it up. I'm like, so I see you got Tab again. He goes, yeah.
I'm going to mail you two cans of Tab, one for you and one for Dr. Fiance. And that way
it's going to explode.
Oh, I'll put a bunch of bubble wrap around it. Then you guys can pop the bubble wrap. It'll be like two gifts in one kind of sort of thing. It tastes like a diet soda, but it's a slightly more bitter taste when it gets washed down. I guess that's the phenylkyanurix or phenylkyline? Am I saying that right? Whatever that artificial sweetener is, I think that has that slightly bitter
taste. I believe her name is Kylie Minogue.
Oh, she's a great. I love Kylie
Minogue. She is the greatest.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She's got certain features that are excellente, my friend.
Well, that's another podcast entirely.
They entirely do. Yeah, it's the third item on my list is actually Happy Meals from McDonald's.
Ooh, tell me more about these Happy Meals. Yes. I've never heard of a Happy Meal. What is a Happy Meal, James?
What is
Ryan?
A Happy Meal? Well, let me tell you about that. So as a kid, there was a McDonald's very close to my parents' house, very close being probably about a 15-minute drive or something like that. And we would go – it was not in our town, but it was in the adjacent town. And whenever my mom would go shopping in that town, she would bring my – younger sister and myself, and we would go grab lunch at McDonald's every so often. This is before the news came out that McDonald's was poison and gross.
No.
And it would satisfy our childhood hunger with the – and this was the at a time. I don't know what they do right now, but it was – you could either get the hamburger, you could get the cheeseburger, or you could get the chicken nugget meal. And
– yeah, it's about the same still.
Okay. But the awesome thing is, especially growing up as a child in the 80s, the toys were awesome!
Yeah, it's some good Happy Meal toys. What was
the toys that I remember the most are, there was the, it was like kind of the knockoff Transformers, but not GoBots, but they were McDonald's Transformers. So it was, the ones that we had was a thing of fries that transformed into a robot, and then a Big Mac that turned into a robot.
I had the French fry one. Yeah.
Nice.
It was those things were awesome.
They were sweet.
Yeah, they were great. They always gave the Hot Wheels cars. They always put in those Happy Meals. It was pretty good quality Hot Wheels cars. Like, they're actually metal and everything. I was like, oh, these are legit toys.
That's worth the price of admission right there. I remember actually they used to do, they had little Bigfoot cars as well. You know, the big trucks.
Oh, yeah, the big monster trucks or whatever.
Yeah, those were cool. Those are the two that I remember specifically. And this was obviously before they had any movie ties with Disney or anything like that. So they would have some funky stuff. And, you know, and then the one actually that I do remember is during Halloween, and I think they still do it, is they sold the Happy Meal instead of the paper box that it came in. It was the plastic bucket, and it was like a pumpkin or a ghost or a witch. And that was actually could double as your trick or treat bucket.
That was genius of them coming up with that. I had some fond memories of Happy Meals. The Hot Wheels toys were pretty cool. I remember they had some Super Mario 3 toys in there. Those were pretty fun. I remember thinking, what Nintendo game are they going to do next? And then it was just like, oh, here's a hacky sack of a basketball. I'm like, well, this is not the Legend of Zelda that I thought would be in my Happy Meal this time. But so what can you do, though? So why don't you eat Happy Meals anymore, James Ryan?
Oh, well, McDonald's is poison. It's gross. And I don't remember the last time I had fast food. It's probably been a couple years now.
Oh, my God. You're so much better than I am.
I am. I'm sorry. I mean, if you count recently, I did have In-N-Out Burger about 2 weeks ago.
Best
but
fast
that's
food
not
burger
really
ever.
Fast food.
No, but that's the best fast food hamburger that you can get your hands on.
Well, I disagree. I actually think that Fat Burger is a better burger than In-N-Out.
Oh, I've never had Fat Burger. Is that like a California thing too?
It might be a California thing, but I surprisingly enough, I had it in the – I think I had it in the Hong Kong or airport or in Macau. When I was out there a couple years ago. So I don't remember which one it was. But, yeah, it's not just California, I don't think. I think somebody told me that Pharrell actually was the owner of that franchise.
Wow. Like the real Pharrell.
That's real Pharrell. Cool. He was in the back flipping up burgers. Pharrell, is that you? Yeah, I just do this every so often.
It says that it's available in 5 Western states in the U.S. and Canada, and they also have some international locations, as you pointed out. Man, how do they have it in Panama and Qatar, but not here in Texas? Oh, it says it's going to be expanding into Texas.
Hey-o.
So, oh my lord!
Now the great thing about Fatburger I really like is there's different sizes of burgers, but they have a lot of different toppings that you can put on. Obviously, you can always put on cheese for any burgers you want. They offer chili. They also offer, and this is what I always get, a fried egg on top.
Oh, that's good. That's a good way to have a hamburger. Oh, I do that at home. I can't have hamburgers as much anymore. I went to the doctor and they did some blood work on me. And I don't know why that's playing music. I didn't ask for that. It was all nice, pretty music.
Was it sad? It was sad hamburger music.
It was like a piano. They tell me my cholesterol was just slightly high, like not high enough for them to prescribe medicine for. But they said, why don't you cut out the red meat? Because there for a while, I would go to Sam's Club and I'd buy like the big box of like the pre-made hamburger patties. And like 3 times a week, I was cooking like double cheeseburgers on my cast iron grill at home with cheese and like 4 strips of bacon with like mayo and ketchup mixed together. And apparently you're not supposed to do that. I don't know if you know that or not, but
no, I kind of figured that one out a while ago. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
So they said, so
it's delicious. It's really awesome and delicious, but yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. So this week I got my hamburger fix. It was, I tried to make that jerky. Like we said at the beginning of the show, I took the rest of the hamburger meat and I just made 1 patty. It had cheese on it, but there was no bacon and no mayo as the condiment. It's just cheese, the patty, some actual real lettuce, romaine lettuce, and some ketchup and mustard. And I thought, you know what? That seems like a responsible way to eat a hamburger. So
there you go.
That's what I did. But yeah, this Fatburger place is coming to Texas. They're eyeing Dallas and Houston in 2018. So this year.
Nice.
So
well, I mean, try this. But Texas doesn't, I mean, they're going to have some competition because I know Whataburger is down in Texas.
Yeah.
And they also have isn't there a Shake Shack or something from Texas?
I've never heard of that one. There probably is.
Okay. There's maybe Terry's, it's another state because I know we just got one and I think New York just got one as well. Shake Shack.
I've heard of
Whataburger. Definitely. I've heard that's Texas.
I like In-N-Out much better than Whataburger. Whataburger's good, but In-N-Out is better. That's
gotcha.
That's the way. Gotcha. Just the way they made that hamburger. They made it animal style for me.
Yes, was awesome. I was going to ask if you knew about the secret menu.
Yeah, I didn't like the French fries though. The French fries were just like mediocre. And I tried them 3 separate occasions. I got them like extra well done. I think that's one of the things you're supposed to ask for on the fries. And
you can get animal style fries too.
I tried that once too. It was I ordered just regular fries the one time, and then I asked for them to cook them like well done or extra crispy the second time. Uh-huh. And then the third time I got them animal style. And I was just like, you know what? This is just a place. I'll just come and I'll get a burger and a shake instead of burger and fries. So
that's all right. That's all right.
I'm a weirdo, apparently. Fat burger,
you can get skinny fries or fat fries, the big steak fries, and those are awesome. I love those.
I like the fat fries. And Five Guys is good. You got Five Guys in California?
We do have Five Guys here in California. However, I have yet to try that.
It's a little pricier than In-N-Out and Whataburger, but they have the Cajun seasoned French fries, and they're really, really good. So I
have heard of these things. Yes.
Yeah. If you like spicy food, if you don't like spicy food, well, my God, don't order it because then you're just dumb if you do that. So
I do enjoy a spicy food.
People like Pierce Brosnan and Miss Doubtfire going to a restaurant and ordering like shellfish or something. He's like, hold the spice or something. I was like, dude, why are you ordering? What was it he ordered? It was it was some Cajun dish or something that he says like hold the spice on in that stupid movie, and it's like, dude, oh, jambalaya, I think it's like jambalaya or something. He's like, don't put any pepper in this. It's like, dude, why are you ordering jambalaya, man? You're just he was asking for it. That's what he was doing. But so sorry for that tangent. I really don't like Miss Doubtfire. That's just a terrible movie. We need to really talk about that some other time.
It was a run by fruiting.
You know, if the internet existed back then, we'd probably have GIFs of like Robin Williams throwing like fruit at people. That would be.
Of course.
That would have been like the big thing or whatever. Okay. Number three on my list. This is a cheat because just because they don't make it anymore. But Garfield Fruit Snacks. Do you ever have those?
Ooh, I used to love those.
Oh, they were the best fruit snacks. And then they stopped making them because everybody realized that Garfield was terrible. And
how dare you? Garfield's awesome.
Garfield was great like in the late 80s and middle 90s, but he, I don't know. Have you read a Garfield comic strip lately?
I have not read a Garfield comic strip lately, but during Thanksgiving and Christmas, I did watch the Garfield specials.
Oh, see, those are nice. Those are timeless, as they say.
Yes, I will agree on that.
The Halloween one is scary as heck, though, dude.
Yes, I remember. So Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, I did watch all three of them. Yes, it was definitely scary.
That old man talking about the pirate story or whatever, sitting in that chair in front of the fire, like. Jeez Louise, that terrified me. I've seen scary movies, and that's right up there with the scariest things I've ever seen in my life. But
scare the pants off you.
What's your favorite food that you don't eat now just because they don't make it anymore off the top of your head? Garfield fruit snacks are it for me.
God, you know, I was trying to figure out that, and I could not think of something that – I don't know. You're going to have to get back to me. I'm going to have to think about that. I could not think of something that I used to love that they have basically taken off the shelves.
What about the Nintendo cereal? Did you ever eat that?
I never had the Nintendo cereal, and I'm trying to think of maybe a breakfast cereal. Maybe it was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cereal.
Yeah, it was marshmallows and nets. Nets were not marshmallow pieces. Like, that. Nets? Like, what is that? I don't know why they chose nets. Like, when did they ever use nets in the cartoon?
Because they were probably going through their factory of cereal, and they're like, oh, what can we figure out is a looks like a ninja item? I don't know. And that worked for them. I think it was done by Chex or something like that.
Probably. They probably did nets because of
They Chex. Basically just took the stuff from the Chex mix.
They should have just done circles and called them like sewer like covers or something. Like it seems like that's
I don't
what
know
you do
if you
for
want
Ninja Turtles.
That in a kid's series. Marshmallows and sewage. What?
I mean, good God, we got Chuck E. Cheese with a rat as a mascot. I mean, that's not that's gross enough, but man. So but yeah, Garfield fruit snacks. I would eat a box of those now, even if they're like 30 years old with decrepit dust covering them and everything. I'd dive in and eat those things anyways.
I wonder if somebody still has like a case. You know, there's always somebody who's like, hey, look what I found, a case of these, and they're selling them on eBay or something like that.
Oh yeah, you'll see people do YouTube videos of them drinking like Crystal Pepsi, like out of the bottle, like 20 years
later. Oh, yeah.
And then they'll vomit everywhere. It's like you're an idiot for doing
that. Oh, you know, actually, just thinking about that. So, I don't know if it counts, but as a kid, I used to have Ecto Cooler all the time from Hi-C.
Ooh, they brought that back. You remember that?
They did bring it back, and I did order it from off Walmart.com, and I got a case of it recently. So I think I have about six cans left. But apparently they said that it expires, which I'm astounded that a fruit juice, well, fruit being the quote unquote fruit juice, has an expiration date.
I wonder, I don't know, what would that be like to, if you had an old package of it, do you really think it would taste bad? Or do you think that's just people making it up?
I assume these things can last forever. Just because they're all chemicals pretty much.
Well, I have a bottle of Coca-Cola from 1976. I feel like I need to videotape myself drinking that. Now, that would be something. But my wife keeps telling me, God bless her, she keeps telling me, that's going to, like, rot your insides as soon as it touches
it. Yeah, I would say probably not do it. A, it's probably flat by now.
Yeah, that's true.
Even though there's natural carbonation when they bottle it, but the majority of that carbonation is kind of dead, especially that's been in room temperature for X amount of years.
Yeah, probably maybe in hot too. Who knows
I wouldn't touch that. Actually, I just saw a picture of they said some liquor store or something was closing down. And they found like a bunch of cases of old Pepsi or old Mountain Dew from like 19 whatever it was 80. It was bottled and stuff like that, and they put it out on to basically get it tossed and stuff like that, and it's a big sign, do not drink, this is from 19 this is spoiled. So I wouldn't trust it.
I've got that bottle of Coke. I have a can of Coke Zero before they changed the recipe on it, and a bottle of Crystal Pepsi that they re-released last year. Just as like,
I didn't get a chance to get that, or I didn't get a chance to get at least a bottle of Zima.
They brought Zima back.
They brought Zima back. I think it was last year. Or something like that.
Speaking of Mike's Hard Lemonade, geez Louise.
Yeah.
Zima any good? I never had that one.
I've had one bottle from the same producer's house. When I ran out of alcohol, we're like, I guess I could have a Zima. It was what it was.
It's Zima. Was it just like water with alcohol flavoring in it, or like what flavoring?
I remember it was. Think of like a Sprite with alcohol.
Oh. Doesn't sound very good at all, actually.
No.
It sounds terrible, actually. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like Coca-Cola goes good with alcohol, but I don't know what you pair with a Sprite. Vodka, maybe? Is that what you...
Vodka. Yeah, you go vodka.
Okay. Or gin. Could you go gin and Sprite? Would that work?
I probably wouldn't, just because gin is so tricky to pair anything with except for tonic. You need something plain because gin has a taste to it.
Yeah. Oh, I follow our great leader Snoop and just do juice in college. That was when I wasn't doing Mike's Hard Lemonade. I had the big cheap ass nasty bottle of Heaven Seals. Hill gin.
Oh my God!
You ever had Heaven Hill? You know what I'm talking about?
No, but I'm sure I've walked past it in the bottom shelf of the liquor aisle.
Oh man, Heaven Hill was, and I don't think it's as cheap now because everything's more expensive. You know, thanks Obama. But you get like I think it's like 64 ounces of it for like $5 or $6 or something like
Good
that.
Good Lord!
Oh, you felt it burn on the way down. But we always mixed it with the pineapple, orange, and banana blend of juice. And
it was really good.
So try that maybe with something that's a little nicer than Heaven Hill gin or whatever.
Now, in my expertise of drinking, in my career of drinking, I am definitely not a gin fan. I have friends who love gin and tonics and things like that, and I've tried the gin and juice. I just cannot do the taste. I don't like the taste of gin. So I can do it with vodka. I can do it with rum. I can do it with any whiskey or anything like that. I just don't drink. I don't like gin for some reason.
I'd like a Tom Collins with gin and then the gin and juice, but – that's really it. I can't think of any other drinks. I was at the liquor store. I was trying to figure out, like, okay, I've only got the money for one spirit. What one do I pick? I went with vodkas. It felt like vodka's got, like, the most variety of things that you can make with it. You know, maybe rums.
You know, I used to know people that you could do they did, obviously, orange juice, so you make a screwdriver with that. I knew people who would drink vodka with Dr. Pepper.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I used to like the cherry flavored vodka with Coca-Cola. That was a pretty good, pretty good combo. But yeah, I had the White Russian tonight for the first time. And the last week or the week before, I had a Bloody Mary for the first time ever. Oh, that was really good too. I totally love that. That was,
If you're at a bar and you are looking for a gin drink, I will say this because I have tried this as a friend of mine recommended this one time, a slow gin fizz.
What the hell is a slow gin fizz?
S-L-O-E gin fizz.
Slow.
And it's a sweet, sweeter drink. It's actually really good. If you're looking for any single guys out there who are ordering drinks for girls, you get them a slow gin fizz and they'll love it. Like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah. Cause you'll look like you're smart cause you're not just ordering like, oh, give me a beer or whatever.
Well, there was one time I knew the bar I was going to most likely did not know how to make that. And so I wrote down the instructions how to make it, asked the bartender, said, let me get a slow gin fizz. He goes, I don't know how to make that. Here's the recipe. There you go.
No. So you educated that man tonight.
Certainly did.
That was fantastic. So who is it, your turn or my turn?
It is my turn, and it is for the fourth item that I will no longer have in this lifetime, but I used to have all the time as a child. Lunchables.
Oh, my wife loves those things. We have to stop eating them because I got too much sodium in them.
They are not good for you at all. She needs to stop that immediately, if not sooner.
No, we haven't had one in like almost a year. So it's been a while since we've had those. So, okay, so what Lunchable did you get the most when you were a kid?
I think it was the turkey one. So when I was a kid, there was only it was the beginning, you know, versions of it where you would get I think they would have turkey or ham, and then it would have the white cheese or the orange cheese. You know, it's not cheddar, it's not mozzarella, it's not provolone or whatever. It's white and it's orange. And on the crackers, I get the four shotter right there.
Okay. And it came with like a.
And then there was a deluxe one. I remember the deluxe one would come with a mint, an Andes mint, and some sort of topping. I think it was either like a Dijon or a horseradish or something like that. And you'd put that on the thing as well. So
that couldn't have been for kids. What kid wants an Andes mint after his lunch?
Oh man, dude, they were so good. They were. It's chocolate. Come on,
that's chocolate. Yes, but what? I mean, most kids are like, oh, give me a Snickers bar or you know a Twix bar in there, dude, or something.
The mints were delicious. I remember eating this. So the Lunchables, and then when you saw somebody with the deluxe one, you're like, oh, damn, somebody's coming up in the world.
Man, geez, Louise, that sounds good, though. Like, I know that sounds unhealthy for me, and I assume that's why you don't eat this now. It's just too unhealthy for you.
Oh, totally. In practicality, it's a really good idea because it's like, okay, I'm on the go, or here's a kid who, okay, here, throw this in your lunch bag or throw this in your backpack, and it's easy because it's slices of meat, it's slices of cheese on crackers. Super simple, and you would think, in theory, it's like, that's probably really healthy or somewhat healthy, but it's not because they have to use preservatives, they have to use a lot of sodium, you know, because it's sitting on the shelves for a while. So just make your own Lunchables. Just buy a block of cheese, buy some lunch meat, get some good crackers, boom, there you go.
Yeah, and throw an Andes mint in there, I guess.
Right on top of that
mint. That just sounds like a snobby kid eating the Andes mint or whatever.
You have to eat it with your pinky up. Yes, this is my Andes mint, yes, yes. So Lunchables, you used to eat those all the time in grade school, and this is in the 80s. I believe it came out in 1990. I have to look about that. Let me see. They came out in 1988 in Seattle, but nationally released in 1989. So I was 10 years old in 1989, and they were delicious.
I'm looking at old pictures. I see this deluxe one or whatever. It looks it's the most 80s looking packaging ever, by the way, if you look up Lunchables Deluxe. But lunch combinations. So, wow, they've really come a long ways from that. That packaging. They got the one with the pizza, and I never could figure that out when I was a kid. Like, how are you supposed to microwave that? What, I got to eat uncooked cheese on there? Like, no, thank you.
I see that nowadays on the shelves, and I go, what? I don't want to eat, like, raw pizza.
Yeah, and just, like, some kids got to have, like, access to, like, a microwave or something, like, to make that. I don't know. The pizza one always just threw me off. I never really saw many kids eating them. Like, it was one or two. I think it was, like, rich kid food or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you could not.
That's how we did it in Los Angeles.
Oh, man, you guys got the money for everything out there in L.A.
We do. But there is actually a picture now, this is, like I said, where it's, you know, just the parent just throws it at the kid and throw it here. I don't have any time for this. There's a picture of the Oscar Mayer Lunchables, and it says, Mom gave up lunch combinations.
That's funny and sad all at the same time. Now I'm just depressed thinking about that. But yeah, and somebody's got a price comparison. Like you said, make it yourself. It's like $3 for the Lunchable. And then I guess they broke it down. It's like $1.34, like if you make it yourself. So yeah, save yourself some money, I guess. Make your own darn Lunchable. Probably be healthier for you.
Make your own meat and cheese on a cracker, you dingus.
Now I'm hungry. I haven't really had any dinner tonight. So I had Chinese food for lunch today, and it actually filled me up for most of the day. So you figure that one out. But my fourth thing on my list, did you ever have these? They're called Little Hug Fruit Barrels.
No. What's that?
They were like these little – by the way, if you type in little jugs into your Google search, make sure that your safe search is set to moderate. I found that out the hard way tonight. Like, what are little jugs? Uh-oh. That's what those are.
Do 1G for jugs and not 2Gs, because I just did 2Gs in Yahtzee.
Oh, yeah. Don't let Dr. Girlfriend hope you're in incognito mode with that search there. But no, these are called, because I couldn't remember the name of them. And we had actually bought them recently, so I probably should have remembered them. But yeah, they're like the, I love these as a kid. Like, there's just something really magical about that flavor. Magical is a dumb word, but when you're a kid, you think of dumb things, so whatever. But it's just like this Kool-Aid, but it just had this nice, different, sweet taste to it that you didn't get with Kool-Aid. And then my wife and I, we got those. We saw those at Sam's Club, and we got a box of them, and it didn't taste the same. There was something just different about it. Maybe they got rid of, like, the high fructose corn syrup or something. I don't know, but...
Well, see, that's actually, you hope that they get rid of the high fructose corn syrup. That's not good. A human body cannot actually break down the high fructose corn syrup. That actually is not good for you at all.
It just, for us, it just ended up tasting like a watered down, like, Kool-Aid or something like that. So.
And it was called Little Fruit, what was it called?
Little Hug Fruit Barrels.
Little Hug Fruit Barrels. Yeah. Let me look at this. Oh,
yeah, you know what I'm talking about now. Now that
I know what you're talking about. I had something very similar, but not maybe not called Little Hug. Different. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Those don't look very good for you at all. I can just from watching.
Yeah. So yeah. So make sure when you look those up, little hugs. Not little jugs. That's your moral lesson of the day. Like I said, I went to confession tonight. I don't need to ruin it that quickly. So let's keep me clean for at least a few more weeks here. So, but that's my fourth one on the list. What do you got next?
My fifth one is, it's a candy.
Ooh, I got candy for my fifth one too.
And I chose, you ever had Fun Dip before?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that was good. That's not on my list, but I thought about adding that earlier, actually. That was like one of my five.
For those of you who don't know what Fun Dip is, imagine pixie sticks. And if you don't know what pixie sticks are, well, pixie sticks are, it's basically like it looks like a straw where you would open it up and it would basically just be powdered candy, powdered sugar.
Yep.
And it'd be flavored in certain different things. But Fun Dip was crazy because it came in like a pouch of three different flavors. And then it would give you two sticks of, sugar. I don't know, like hard candy, but it was like, they were made out of like, what was the flavor? It was like white. That was the flavor. It was white.
Sugar. It was straight up sugar, I guess.
I don't even know how to describe it, but like, it was amazing. So you'd use this candy thing, this candy like stick to dip it into, you'd lick it, you'd dip it into your flavors, and you'd eat the flavoring.
Are we talking about Fun Dip still or there?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, I like the stick the best, though. Like, that stick was good.
The stick was the best. Yep. Because the awesome thing is because it came with two sticks, so you have, like, a couple different flavors. So it originally came with cherry, grape, and lime flavor. And you'd eat the first stick, and you're like, ah, and you're like, okay, good. Now I still have a lot of the powder left. Got to bust out my second stick, son. And then you'd keep that, kind of eat the rest of that, and you'd have it kind of like just in your mouth, like as if you had like a straw or like a stick, and you just like just start chawing on that. Oh, that's dangerous. Dangerous. I don't even know what those are made. It's like cocaine. Child cocaine is what it was.
I've always wanted to try this, but I never have done this. Have you ever tried making Kool-Aid out of it? Just pouring flavor into some water and mixing it up. I don't know if that would actually, if there's enough sugar in there to compensate for all the water, or I don't know how that works. But you can buy a Fun Dip Halloween costume, by the way. Do you know that?
No, I did not know that. I want that. I want a t-shirt of Fun Dip.
It's a Fun Dip. It's just like the bag you put over yourself, and like the stick goes over your hand or whatever. So. Now I'm just imagining somebody making like that into like a dirty costume and putting that stick somewhere besides their arm.
I see it. Fun Dip Halloween. Oh my goodness.
You know you would like to do that. Like that would be a fun, if you had to do like a pervy costume for Halloween, which that feels like all Halloween is lately for adults. It's just an excuse to be pervy and slutty, but, That's all it is. Like any costume. I know. Like, oh, why dress up as a race car when you can be a slutty race car? And it's like
sexy race car.
It's like it's a freaking race car, man. Like what? What is this? And so I like the funny costumes.
Are you a human? I'm a sexy human.
Woo! I think my favorite couple's costume, I saw one, it was just ketchup and mustard. I was like, that's fun.
So one year, Dr. Girlfriend and I, she had dressed up. We basically had a rice bag that we kind of stitched on the side, and she wore it as a dress. And I had a big thing of cardboard, and I cut out in the shape of a soy sauce bottle. And I actually had a red beret, so it looked like I was a bottle of soy sauce. And I printed out the Kikkoman, and with the giant nutritional value on the back. And so that's I wore awesome. Like a sandwich board. And so we were rice and soy sauce one year.
That's really cool. When was this? How long ago was this?
This was probably 9 years ago or something like that. I don't know. So long. It was long ago. But basically, it cost both of us all of like zero because we had everything that we needed at the house.
That's awesome. That's my second favorite Halloween costume you've ever done.
I have to find a picture of it. It's pretty damn funny.
My favorite is still when you dressed up as the Macho Man Randy Savage and you were giving out Slim Jims to people.
That was a fun night.
That was the extra touch. He's still the greatest wrestler of all time in my opinion. That opinion has not changed. But you giving out Slim Jims to everybody. I always thought
I had a couple Slim Jims. I made my championship belt out of some. I'm a master of making things out of cardboard apparently, man. It was fun. Everybody loved the hi Macho Man. Everyone was calling me by Macho Man. It was awesome.
Slim Jims are not on this list, by the way. I freaking love eating those things. They're so good. They're wildly unhealthy for me, but
step into them.
I freaking love Slim Jims, man. I like the ones that have the Tabasco in them. Those are
I've never had those.
One time I got sick off eating a chili flavored Slim Jim because unbeknownst to me the packaging was slightly open. So like all the air had already like gotten into it or whatever, and I got through like half of it. I was like, I really don't feel good. And my wife pointed out, there's a kind of a hole in that package at the bottom there, hon. I was like,
I'm starting to see colors.
I'm going to be joining Macho Man very, very soon if I keep eating this. So my fifth and final one, I couldn't come up with six. I really tried, but, Warhead. The candy Warheads.
Oh, I remember those.
It's kind of the same thing with the Sugar Daddy, is that it's too hard to like chew through. Like you can't.
Yeah.
If you try to bite through it, it's gonna like stick to your teeth. And I don't have the. I don't know. Those ones are always just like. I always feel like every time I would buy Warheads, I would end up getting like stale ones or something like that, because you would bite through them and it wouldn't be like a crisp, crunchy bite. It would like. I don't know, kind of like a melted kind of – you're kind of biting through it, but you're not really. I'm trying to figure out a better way to describe it, and I'm failing miserably. But, yeah, they just – every one of them tasted like this is what a stale Warhead probably tastes like. And after a while, it's like that's just probably what Warheads actually just taste like. But I don't know. The sour thing is cool on it, but I don't know. I've got no time and patience for Warheads anymore. So that's my – that's my five candies, five things.
Yeah, I think I've rarely maybe had Warheads once or twice. I'm not a – if I was choosing candy – now, of course, I just said Fun Dip was one of my all-time favorites because it's a fruity candy. I would choose more chocolatey candy than I would maybe hard candy or fruity candy or something like that. Yeah. Fun Dip is a beast entirely to itself, but yeah, so I never really had the joy of like Jawbreakers or Sour Patch Kids, which is a lot of my friends used to get as well.
Do they still have? They still make Jawbreaker candy?
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do.
I had one of those ages.
And yeah, it's why even have that? So actually, you said so. You only had five. I had five, obviously, but the sixth one is one that popped into my head recently, and it was a soda. I didn't have this actually until I was an adult. I was working on a commercial set at the time, and I saw that it was in the bucket of all the sodas and stuff like that. It was Brisk iced tea.
Oh, yeah.
And I had never had that at all until then, and that put me on like a kick. Like for the next like couple months, every time I would go to the grocery store, I'd be like, oh, gotta get a 12 pack or gotta get a 6 pack or a 2 liter, a brisk. And then I'd be like, oh, I gotta get the raspberry flavor. I gotta get this one. And it stopped tasting as good as the time, like the first time I had it. It's kind of like drugs.
No.
It stops being as high. You stop getting as high as the first time you have it.
Wow.
Oops. Did I say that?
Drugs. Wow.
I don't do drugs anymore.
No. I'm glad to hear that. Good job to you, sir.
But yes. So, I stopped that. But brisk iced tea was one of those ones where I was like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to have that anymore.
I don't really like any of the prepackaged teas except for one. The Arizona iced tea is pretty good, actually. I don't know if you've ever had that one or not.
I have had Arizona iced tea before. That's the one in the cans, correct?
Yeah, you can. We can buy it in like the jug, but you can buy it in the can too. Yeah,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah,
in the can, but
you know, I like the idea of iced tea, but I like the more flavored ones. So,
Yeah. Yeah, they have the one we buy is just a plain Jane sweet tea or whatever, but they've got like the Arnold Palmer. That's like half lemonade, half tea or whatever, and they got like some green tea or whatever. I don't know, I'm sounding like a commercial for freaking Arizona iced tea here, but no, it's actually good. My wife doesn't like tea, but she likes that kind, if you can believe such a thing.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I like the idea of iced tea, and then once I start drinking it, I go, eh. Which is why I'll never say no to an Arnold Palmer, though.
did he actually invent that, or did he just get famous?
He did.
Oh, yes.
Did?
Oh, okay. Wow.
That is his invention.
There's probably people that have no idea he's a golfer. They just know he's the guy that made that drink or whatever.
No, it's just that's just the name of the drink, right?
Yeah.
That's a person?
What would be a dirty Arnold Palmer? What alcohol would you add to that to make it like?
Vodka.
Vodka.
Vodka, maybe a white rum.
Ooh.
Potentially. White rum. Yeah, not a spiced rum. You don't want to do a spiced rum. So vodka. You could do a lemon vodka, like a Citroen.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I've looked it up.
That.
One bottle, a fifth of a sweet tea vodka chilled, and then 64 ounces of lemonade. Wow, that's a ton of booze right there. Jeez.
Yeah, that's
saves
lemonade
for everybody else.
That's an Arnold Palmer for everyone.
I will.
Everyone get drunk.
I'll round out the list at with six just to match you. Really bubble gum. Like I don't know, my mouth hurts after a while if I eat bubble gum now, and it's just like, what's the point of this? It doesn't fill me up, or I don't get full after it or anything like that. But so yeah, no, I stay away from bubble gum most of the
time. Yeah, I don't drink bubble gum anymore either. I don't drink bubble gum at all. I don't eat bubble gum. Sorry.
Oh, now I want a bubble gum. Now I want some like a bubble gum snow cone. That would be pretty good. So.
Ooh.
Have you ever had the soda Big Red?
No.
Is that just a southern?
I've heard of it. I've heard of it, but I've never had it.
It tastes like red bubble gum, kind of sort of. So if you ever get a chance to get one of those, it's pretty good. So, well, there you have it. Those are our six foods that we no longer eat. This was a hard list to come up with. It was easier. Maybe we'll do this on another podcast. It was easier to come up with things that I hated when I was a kid, but I absolutely love it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I look back and I'm like, wow, man, how am I not dead because of all this bad food that we used to eat as kids?
Sweet potatoes, one thing that I hated as a kid and I can eat now. Black licorice, I didn't really like it as much when I was a kid, but I love it now. Like black jelly beans are the best jelly beans.
I do not like licorice at all.
I got my 6-year-old eating black jelly beans. It's the greatest thing I've ever done as a parent. So,
Rose.
And then she told me the other day, she said, Dad, I don't really like black jelly beans as much as you think I do. She's like, I like them okay. I just like the other ones better. I was like, that's okay, baby. I was like, do you like the way that Daddy does when there's just a few black jelly beans mixed with the red ones? She said, yes. So I was like, oh, thank God. I need you to still like weird food like that so you can freak out your classmates in school and be like cool or something like that. But James, where can people find your children?
My children?
I mean, where can they find you online? I don't know why that slipped out there.
I don't know.
Children running around all over the place.
I'd like to know where that too.
Yeah.
Where can you find me online? I am currently inhabiting Twitter. I am at Beer Baron for Life. That is the number 4, L-I-F-E. I am also on certain podcasts at the TLD podcast at the TLD podcast. That is Time Limit Draw, where I talk with my co-host every 2 weeks about one retro wrestling pay-per-view. And the last one that we did recently was WCW Uncensored 1997.
Oh, you're getting close to my favorite era of WCW, the 97, late 97 through 98 or whatever. So.
Yeah, that was definitely a great era. Goldberg, in this pay-per-view, Goldberg has not made his debut just yet. So, and the NWO is just kind of just kind of ramping up. They actually, in this pay-per-view, spoiler, but they won a three-team battle to be able to challenge for any title that they wanted any time. They're already the champion and the tag team champions, and Sting made his re-debut after being vacant, after being gone for 7 months to beat up the NWO. So everyone went crazy at the end of that pay-per-view.
Wow. That's that's pretty cool. I should get my WWE subscription back to watch that one. I think I told you about that Halloween Havoc last time we were talking. And
yes,
the more I read about that, the more I read that apparently Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio Jr. just have a phenomenal match on that card.
That's widely to be believed as a 5-star. A 4+++ or a 5-star match, one of the greatest matches of all time.
So yeah. I did watch that. When it was last podcast, I said I'll try to watch that pay-per-view again before my network subscription lapses. And I did. I watched that match, and holy geez, those people are right. That was an amazing, amazing match that those two had. But
absolutely tremendous. And it was amazing because they were able to just do anything they wanted to because they were the undercard and nobody really cared. And yeah, they put out some amazing matches, not just those two guys, but on this match, on this pay-per-view, we had Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero battle, and it was awesome up until just about the end, but it was a pretty damn good match.
Nice.
Heyo, I swore.
Ah, no, that's if you can swear, if you can say the word on the radio, you can swear, you can say the word on the show. So one of the Catholic channel shows I listen to, he says the word damn too. So there you go. There's, you learned something new today. But as tradition, I always retweet the most recent original thought that that you have on Twitter. You tweeted earlier on March 27th, you said, quote, ribs and beans.
Yes.
Why did you tweet ribs and beans?
Well, that was our dinner, I believe it was two nights ago. Ooh. Ribs, we had this pretty good, I think it was Kansas City style, dry rub.
Oh.
We actually went to Costco and saw that. I'd never picked that up before. That was the pre-made, already heated up. I think they were beef ribs, I believe. And they were really, really very, very tasty. Yep. And we had some baked beans as well. And that's really, was really good too.
If they were the more expensive set of ribs, they were the beef ones. The pork ribs are cheaper, but the beef ribs are
for this like little rack of ribs, pre-made, that was about $12.
Oh, okay. And might have been the pork. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not your biographer. I can't tell.
I think it tastes. I wasn't there in the kitchen with you. I believe it was beef ribs.
Oh, okay. So were they already cooked, or did you cook them at home?
It was already cooked. They were already. I just had to put them in the oven and heat up, and they were very tender, and they were just pretty much falling off the bone. It was pretty good.
Oh man, that's the one thing I cannot wait to do is have my own house to where I can go grill my ribs or whatever, and just to perfection. I already got the grill. It's just sitting in my garage because I can't use it until
it's waiting. It's waiting.
I got somebody was selling their Traeger pellet grill, so I picked that up for a few $100s less than than what it sells for in the store. But instead of charcoal or gas, it uses the little wood pellets. And it treats the grill as like a convection oven almost, with like the hot air with the wood flavoring in it just going all over the place. And holy geez, man, I'm going to make some good food. So you should come out and visit. And whenever you do, I will make you some amazing food. By that point, I will. By that point, like 7 years, when you finally do come visit, I will be.
You never do know.
Master griller, you can come visit me and our mutual friend Chris Alt. By the way, I wanted to let you know, after months of us telling him what's good for him, telling us, hey, you should watch Ash vs. Evil Dead. Guess what? He watched it. Guess what? He thought it was great. It's like,
interesting.
No crap, Sherlock. We've been telling you that for months now that it's
now,
great.
Did he start? Hopefully he started with season one
and did
not jump straight. Okay,
he
good.
Told me in a text. I hope he doesn't mind. Not like anybody listens to this, but hopefully he doesn't mind me saying his text messages out loud. He said once he realized how like that it was supposed to be like an absurd show. He said it was a lot more fun for him. So I don't think he's probably not seen the Evil Dead movies if he didn't realize it's going to be an absurd show. But he made a thing that he pointed this out, and I thought, well, that seems about right. He said that Ash was like Deadpool without the healing factor. I was like,
I can see that. I mean,
they both are pretty smartass with their commentary or whatever.
Yeah, with not as much pop culture references, but yeah. I could definitely see. Though I see it more of Ash's got the Three Stooges influence, especially when he starts, when they start having the fights and stuff like that.
Oh, he's on episode 6 of season 1. So I was like, "Oh, you've got some fun coming up
yes.
with you."
Oh man.
I gotta renew my Starz subscription so I can catch up on season 3. Did that season 3 get any better? You said it started off kind of slow, but
it started off a little slow. I just watched actually the last 2 episodes before we started recording tonight, and I actually liked these 2.
Was that the sperm bank episode?
Season 3 started a little slow.
Was that the sperm bank episode? Did you get to that one yet?
Oh, that was episode 2 or 3, and I watched 4 and 5 today.
Oh,
so
okay.
The sperm bank episode was actually there was some pretty good. There was some funny. It was funny, but still not as funny as the morgue.
Dude, that morgue scene was the funniest stuff I've ever seen on TV.
I think I laughed for probably about 6-7 minutes straight.
Oh, that is hilarious. I'm in the butt. He yells it out loud. Holy jeez, man. That show was so great. So I'm glad to hear that season 3 has picked up for you, because
yes.
I would have been really depressed if I don't know. It feels like maybe season 3 is like their last season. I don't feel like they're getting a whole lot of love from Starz or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what their plans are.
It's weird, but I don't know. By the way, did you watch any of that Jessica Jones season 2 yet?
I have not seen any of it, no.
Man, my wife and I, we love that first season, but we watched that second first episode of the second season, we're bored out of our minds.
I've heard that it's not very good.
The Marvel Netflix stuff, when it gets to season 2, they feel like they kind of dropped the ball, because season 2 of Daredevil was so boring to get through. And
season 2 was very slow for Daredevil. I didn't even finish Iron Fist. I think I have like 3 more episodes of Luke Cage. That kind of even got a little boring. And then I watched the first episode of Defenders and I stopped.
Defenders was boring, dude. I watched the first episode of that and that just bored me out of my skull. Like, oh.
And I don't know if you've started Punisher. I watched the first couple episodes of Punisher and it was getting interesting. A little bit drag. I think the problem is, I think they go, what do they go for 12 episodes? I think if they cut it down to like 9 or 10 episodes, it should be fine.
Because that first season of Daredevil was spectacular.
It was pretty good. Yeah, it was very good.
Same thing with Jessica Jones. I think a lot of that has to do with the strength of the heel, because Kilgrave is such a good heel in that show.
Now, is in second season of Jessica Jones, is Kilgrave back?
He is in one episode. Do you want the spoiler version of how he's there? Because I haven't seen it, but I know.
Is it
I've
a
read
dream?
It.
I don't know.
No, it's a hallucination.
He shows up.
She kills a guy. And he pops up as like a triumphant hallucination, being like, Jessica, you killed a man.
I think the best bet would have been for it to bring him back.
Yeah, I love. Did you ever play you didn't play the Arkham Knight?
No,
Batman
never played any of that.
Well, the whole thing with that, and what I really wanted them to do with Kilgrave, and they kind of did that for one episode, but during that whole game, Joker exists in Batman's mind. and Batman like sees him. He's like an imaginary, like a ghost or something, but he's walking around and being the Joker with Mark Hamill doing the voices. It's fantastic. And
cool.
And Batman has to battle the Joker in his mind, and he's finally able to seal Joker away in the depths of his mind. And that's the biggest punishment that you can give the Joker, is everybody forgetting about him and nobody remembering that he exists. And Batman's able to forget that the Joker exists with like his mind power or whatever. And that would have been a cool thing to do with Kilgrave over like the whole season. Like Jessica Jones just keeps seeing Kilgrave popping up and taunting her. And then
that would have been good. That would have been good.
Banishes him, you know, out of his mind. But maybe Tennant, you know, he had some other stuff he had to do. Maybe he couldn't commit to a whole season like that. But yeah, he does pop up in one episode in the way that I was hoping he would pop up. So I'll probably just skip ahead and watch that episode with him and be done with it. So,
you'll never forget me, Bats.
That's a pretty good Joker impression there. I gotta admit that to you. So, but anyways, well, what are we going to talk about on our next podcast?
I don't know. That's what I guess the fans and the listeners will have to wait and see what we do.
That sounds good. Earlier, I said my wife would be joining me on a second segment of this podcast. I think I'm
going to
make that a – we've already gone over an hour on this one. It was good conversation, but we've already hit over an hour. So I think I'll make that one with her episode 27. So
right on.
I think that'll be fun. And then we can get you back for episode 28. I don't know.
Indeed.
I will see you, fine listeners, listener. I don't even know if we have a full listener, probably like half a listener or something half like that. Everybody's off listening to
Back
we Hate
to Willow.
Movies
is Willow. Willow is our listener.
Gilmore Girl podcasters. I don't know. Everybody's listening to every podcast in the world out there except for ours, but, we soldier on. Maybe we have some, silent people listening to us. I don't know how that works out.
The silent majority.
Yes, that, you know, I couldn't even think of that word. I drank too much of that White Russian earlier. I can't even think of common phrases that everybody else can think of. So, I need to have another one of them White Russians. I might have to make one of those in a minute. But
you do.
No,
you do.
That's too much drinking tonight, I guess. That's like 3 ounces of alcohol almost.
Tomorrow's right only Thursday. You know, got to wait at least do it tomorrow night.
Well, I work tomorrow night. Tonight was my Sunday. I had yesterday and today off. So my only day for drinking was
your window of opportunity is closing.
It's gone, man. That's gone. So I didn't even get to talk to you about the Tomb Raider movie. We'll have to talk about that next time. It's actually pretty good.
We'll talk about that next time. Yeah.
So anyways, well, I'm Dustin Faber. You can find me at 16-Bit Catholic, and I talk about God knows what. I don't even know what I talk about anymore on there. I need to focus my branding or something on my Twitter. I'm getting a little out of sorts.
Yes.
But you can find me on 16-Bit Catholic. The great James Ryan, he's at Beer Baron for Life. You said it earlier. I'll say it again. It's the number 4, not typing it out. I don't know what happens if you type out 4. For Life.
I don't think anybody has that.
Nobody. See, you're unique. You're a unique person. Good job on that. Well, anyways, we will talk to you at another specified time and place. But everybody, have a great night.